I am speaking with Bob Schneider. He is Director of State Affairs for the Citizens Research Council of Michigan regarding their latest report on education funding in the state and some of the things that are contributing to what has been a bit of a change in terms of how much is given per pupil in Michigan, especially when inflation is factored in. Bob, thank you very much for taking some time to speak with us.
Oh, you're welcome.
So explain, your report begins with this idea that there can be confusion. There can be a couple different ways of looking at this, and someone can conclude that there has been an increase in per pupil funding in Michigan. Some other people can look at it and say, actually, no, it's been a cut. How is it possible that two people, assuming that they're being honest and that they know how to calculate numbers, can reach such different conclusions?
There's a significant factor in all of this with, well, two factors. The federal government provided some stimulus funding to schools in fiscal year 2009 through fiscal year 2011 to help the state and help all states, not just Michigan, get through, you know, the tough times that came with the severe economic downturn that we experienced there. So that federal funding helped the state cut back on its funding. The federal funding basically replaced state funding at that time, but that was temporary stimulus. So when that stimulus goes away, the state either needs to kick back in its contribution, or it needs to find ways to cut the school aid budget. So that's one contributing factor. The other is the large cost that schools are experiencing with their unfunded liabilities to the state retirement system through the Michigan Public School employees retirement system. They have had significant increases in those costs over the last several years, and those are basically cutting into the revenues available for classroom education. So while state funding has definitely gone up in recent years, much of that funding has been either to, one, meet these new MIPSRS costs that are escalating due to large market losses that we experienced several years back during the downturn, and two, to replace the federal funding that provided a temporary stimulus for school funding in earlier years. So is state funding going up? Yes. But is the overall level of funding going up to schools in terms of what's getting to the classroom? That's where the schools have been a little more constrained with their revenues.
The federal stimulus money came in 2009, shortly after the financial meltdown in 2008. Of course, that financial meltdown exacerbated some of the problems with MIPSRS. Was that stimulus money not enough to offset then the effects of the financial crisis?
It actually came before we felt the full effects of the financial crisis. Because of the way the retirement system is structured in terms of its valuations, our big losses were in 2008 and 2009, but there's an annual valuation that basically trues up the pension system to say, okay, well, how much do we need now to contribute because of our experience from the prior year? There's a little bit of a lag before that hits retirement contributions for the schools. The 2008 losses, for instance, weren't recognized until the valuation, which occurred in the summer of 2009, and that came out at the time the budget was being worked on for fiscal year 2010. So there's about a couple-year lag in the time that we experience losses in the market and we recognize them in school contributions. So in effect, the federal stimulus funding helped fill a revenue gap at the state level for schools in 2009, 2010, 2011. We really didn't start seeing the full effects of those losses to the schools in terms of MIPSRS until roughly the time the stimulus went away in 2011, 2012, and it's ongoing now as contributions from the schools continue to rise.
How much does this picture change if you back up a little bit and take a look at it over a number of years as opposed to maybe focusing in on 2 or 3 years? And I guess I'm also wondering how much does it change when you look at it through the lens of inflation and, you know, cost adjusted for inflation, those sort of things.
Right. Right. That was one of the primary things that, you know, the focuses of our study. We had done a study, the Citizens Research Council, in 2004 that kind of highlighted the potential for these cost escalations for the K-12 school system. And this is basically kind of a follow-up to look at, okay, now what has our experience been? When most people look at per-pupil revenues, you look at total per-pupil revenues to the K-12 system. And if you look at those in 2004, we were seeing roughly $9,100 per pupil in local, state, federal funding to the schools. Between then and now, and well, in 2011, that funding went up roughly at the rate of inflation. So the schools were keeping pace with inflation. That changed in 2012. There were some, one, we lost federal stimulus. There were some significant cuts to the foundation allowance. The state diverted some school aid fund revenue to community colleges and higher education to help deal with their general fund problems. So in 2012, we saw overall revenues drop on an inflation-adjusted terms by about 3.6% from where they were at back in 2004. That doesn't look at the picture with the MIPSRS issues, though. So we added that in our study. We said, okay, well, once we control not only for inflation, but for the fact that you have an escalating kind of fixed cost of trying to make up for these MIPSRS losses, and you add that into with the inflation rate now, how do basically remaining revenues left over for, you know, the educational purposes in the classroom? And we found there's when you control for the MIPSRS cost, we see actual per pupil revenues in the schools about 8.7% lower than they were in 2004, after adjusting not only for inflation but for the fact that a lot of costs come off the top to pay for the MIPSRS system. Once you add in that impact of having to funnel more of your revenues away to meet MIPSRS obligations, the schools are even in worse shape than they look at first blush if you're just looking at the per pupil revenue data.
But when I read from the conclusion of your report, it says how this translates into the public debate about the adequacy of K-12 funding for public schools depends on one's perspective as to the adequacy of funding prior to the escalation of MIPSRS costs. Explain that.
Yes, and that basically says, okay, so the schools, we're showing in our report adjusted for inflation and taking into consideration those MIPSRS costs, schools are down about 8.7% from fiscal year 2004. And if you look at their traditional K-12 districts, so excluding intermediate school districts and charter schools, they're actually down about 13% from fiscal year 2004. Does that mean they're underfunded? Well, then you'll have to go back to 2004. Some folks may have felt the schools were in a pretty healthy financial situation at that time. And in fact, Michigan did rank fairly high on per pupil revenue funding nationally if you compare us to other states at that time. So the perspective there is if you feel the schools had enough and more than sufficient funding in 2004, then maybe these costs that they've had to eat and, you know, they can get by with less. If you feel that the schools were appropriately funded in fiscal year 2004, then without a doubt, you would have to come to the conclusion that the schools are probably a little underfunded now. But basically, the question jumps back to, all right, well, before these MIPSRS costs started crowding out spending, where do you think the schools were back when all this started?
So is there a good way of kind of piecing out here how much of this cut in funding on a basis adjusted for inflation can be traced to the short-term problems like the economy, and how much of it can be traced to more longer-term structural problems that Michigan faces?
The main element that we were looking at in our study were these MIPSRS costs, and the state has taken some action in 2012 to help address those costs in the future. There was some legislation passed that required higher contributions from employees toward those pension costs. Employees had either have to make higher contributions, they have to accept a reduced pension benefit through a reduced multiplier, or they could choose to move completely out of the defined benefit pension system into a new defined contribution plan. There were also some changes to employees making contributions towards their health care costs. And a recent report from the House Fiscal Agency suggests that's going to have some immediate short-run savings for the state by reducing the need for schools to make quite as high a contribution to the MIPSR system, probably in order of a 2 to 3% of payroll, which could be anywhere from, you know, $200 to $300 million total in savings with some of these reforms. So that will help in the short run. However, the large losses we experienced in 2008 and 2009 are still being actually phased into there's a smoothing process by which we recognize losses over a five-year period. So those negative losses from 2008 and 2009 are essentially still being slowly factored into the MIPSR's valuations. And so this problem, other than these short-run savings, which will help, these problems will still exist for schools until the markets can make up some ground, which fortunately appears to be happening this year, and hopefully maybe will continue in the future. But despite some of the reforms, which will help basically help keep the problem from getting worse for schools, the degradation of the per pupil revenues to the schools through these higher MIPSR contributions will probably be with us for quite some time.
You say those losses are still being slowly factored in. Now, do the gains that we've seen in the stock market also get factored in slowly, or does that mean that, so there's also some lag then on that sort of evening things out?
There is, indeed, under normal procedures, those would also slowly get factored into the valuation of the pension fund assets rather than all at once. Now, there have been times in the past where the state has found it advantageous to what they call mark to market, which is basically saying, okay, we're going to suspend the smoothing process and re-up right now. The market value of the pension assets are going to be what we're going to count as our actuarial value of the assets. And if the market goes up enough, there's always a chance the state will choose to mark to market and recognize those gains right away. But we're still factoring in some of those severe losses. So the market will have to go up pretty significantly before that becomes real advantageous to the state.
Okay, at the risk of going off on a real tangent here, what's the risk in that move for the state, that mark-to-market procedure that you mentioned?
Well, I think the risk is you risk, and in fact, the last time we marked a market was in 2007, I believe, 2006 or 2007, which unfortunately was right before we had really severe declines in the stock market and the financial markets in 2008 and 2009. So if you marked a market and then unfortunately see some instant losses, you risk losing that buffer that you had from the gains in prior years. The whole idea of smoothing is to make sure that the contribution rates for schools don't have to go up dramatically up or down in any given year. You smooth them out over time, hoping that you get sort of a long-run trend in returns that allow you to have a smoother contribution rate. By marking the market, if you have, like we did actually in 2008, 2009, some pretty significant downturns in the financial markets, that you lose the built-up positives maybe from prior years, and that's the risk.
All right. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Bob?
We are watching the school aid budget go through the final legislative consideration and budget conference committees. There was actually a conference committee scheduled for this morning. I'm not certain whether that will actually meet today or not. They may have just posted a meeting and that they're still in the middle of their decision-making processes. But some good news, at least for the schools, is that the recent revenue forecasts for the state did allow for some extra school aid fund revenue, and there should be an additional $140 million with the recent budget target agreements reached by the administration and legislative leadership for schools for fiscal year 2014. So that, again, will help perhaps boost funding to the schools somewhat, although that may be a temporary increase. So, again, the schools will, you know, continue to probably see some revenue constraints in the near term.